May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Happy New Year! That's what they say. The old has gone, the new has come. Each new year brings with it hope. Hope that the year ahead will be blessed. Hope that the trials and tribulations of the year gone by are now long in the past. New Year's resolutions are one of our common attempts to ensure a better new year. It is as if we have looked at what has been a struggle for us in the year gone by, and then we decide to take action to change it. Feeling too heavy? New Year's resolution, no dessert for a year. Health is failing. New Year's resolution, quit smoking. And no dessert for a year. Feeling too stressed. New Year's resolution. It's finally time to take that vacation. Feeling kind of empty. New Year's resolution. Maybe I ought to try going to church. I'd like you to consider a modern day parable as you look to the year ahead. Perhaps this little parable will direct you to a New Year's resolution that might possibly change your life. This parable is titled, The Whole Armor. May I help you? Came an oily voice from behind the counter. The young man looked around the little clothing shop. I'm looking for an outfit, he said. I was heading for another shop, but it's too far away and I was getting tired. Completely understandable, this voice. Its owner, a waxen-faced salesman with slicked back, dark hair and hollow cheeks, finally rose from behind the counter. I'm sure we can help you with any wardrobe you could have found at that other store, he promised, rubbing his hands together. And at a better price, no doubt. I sure hope so, said the young man. I hear the price of that other store is pretty high. They want practically everything you've got. What a shame, said the salesman, gathering up his measuring tape. Imagine the nerve of that other store claiming to be the only official outfitter and then charging the highest price in town. He walked over to the young man, positioned him in front of a three-way mirror and smiled. What sort of an outfit would you like, he asked. A suit of armor, said the young man. The salesman now arched an eyebrow. A suit of what? Armor. You see, I just signed up to fight the battle, and they gave me this list of armor I am supposed to wear. He held up a piece of paper. Oh, that armor, said the salesman, reading. We have an old suit like that in the back, I believe. But take my word for it. You wouldn't like it. Why not? The salesman says, sniffed. It's simply out of date, he replied. No one would be caught dead in a suit like that these days. But I'm supposed to get one, the young man protested. Put on the whole armor, they told me. They said I couldn't fight the battle without it. The salesman sighed. Oh, very well. What do you need first? Young man looked at his paper. The girdle of truth, he read. A girdle, the salesman cried. Well, it says right here that I have to gird up my loins with truth. Have you got one or not? Just a minute, the salesman said, rolling his eyes and disappearing into the back room. In a moment, he reappeared with a wide leather band. Ow, cried the young man, putting it around his waist. It feels awfully tight. Haven't you got it in a larger size? Sorry, said the salesman. You know how truth is. One size supposedly fits all. It's so constricting, don't you think? Yeah, I guess so, the young man agreed woefully. But I said I have to gird up my loins, so we do have an alternative, the salesman offered. It's the belt of regulations. Pulled a heavy plastic band from a shelf. a lovely piece of work studded with artificial do's and don'ts. The young man tried it on. Oh, this is even worse. It's so tight I can hardly breathe. Some people prefer that tight, bound feeling, the salesman explained. But I have something else that may be more to your liking. He reached under the counter and produced a string. What's that? The young man asked. The sash of sincerity, answered the salesman. Try it on. I think you'll find it quite comfortable. It feels fine, the young man said. But then he frowned. But they told me I couldn't fight the battle if I didn't gird up my... Exactly, the salesman said. How can you fight a battle with a tight old belt around your waist? You need room to move side to side, to slide, to waffle. The sash of sincerity is every bit as good as the girdle of truth, and a lot more fashionable. Who needs truth if you are sincere? Well, I guess that makes sense. I'll take the sash. An excellent choice, the salesman gushed. What's next? The young man checked his list. The breastplate of righteousness, he read. Ugh, the salesman. What's the matter? He shook his head. You'll absolutely hate it, he promised. An ugly old thing, probably rusty by now. It weighs a ton. They've been out of style for ages. But my list says, the salesman sighed. I know. He said as he went into the back room. Soon the sounds of grunting and clunking could be heard as he carried a large iron breastplate on the sales floor. See, he said. Huffing and puffing, he dropped the breastplate to the floor with a clang. It does look kind of uncomfortable, the young man agreed. But how could I go into battle without it? The salesman snapped his fingers. By wearing the straitjacket of self-righteousness, he declared, he took a box from a shelf and helped the young man put on its contents. There, he said, how's that? The young man tried in vain to move his arms. It's lighter than that iron thing, he said, but I don't think I could put up much of a fight without my hands. It feels kind of stiff, too, sort of like a stuffed shirt. The salesman nodded. I know exactly what you mean. He reached into a nearby rack and pulled out a red sports shirt. Try this instead, he suggested. Hey, I like this, the young man said. But how can this take the place of the breastplate of righteousness? The salesman chuckled. Look at the insignia over the pocket. The young man squinted at the mirror. Is it an alligator? He asked. No, the salesman scoffed. It's a smiley face, the international symbol of righteousness, the young man asked. No, you're wearing the international symbol of niceness, a perfect substitute. With that nice red color, the enemy will never notice you sneaking through the forest. Really? Said the young man. Trust me, the salesman said, rubbing his hands together. The next thing on the list is the shoes of the gospel, continued the young man. Right here, the salesman pointed to a pair of black boots in a display case. The most unattractive footwear known to man. Tell me, wouldn't you rather wear those running shoes you've got on? Well, yeah, yes, I would, but they told me, of course, they would. They were probably jealous of your fine shoes. Let me show you what you really need. The shoestrings of the gospel. He handed the young man a pair of laces with tiny crosses all over them. You can wear them, wear your own comfortable shoes, and make a statement at the same time. Aren't they marvelous? The young man frowned. I don't know, he said. I'd feel kind of silly wearing these things. I mean, somebody might actually see them. My thoughts precisely, the salesman said. That's why I've got something even better. The socks of the gospel. The what? Take a look, 100% cotton, with the same design as the shoelaces. But who's to see? They will be hidden away in those comfy shoes of yours. The young man examined them. How much do they cost? He asked. A pittance, the salesman told him. Only a fraction what you would pay for those ugly shoes. Well, okay, the young man said. Now I need the shield of faith. The salesman laughed. My boy, you may need faith, but you don't need a shield. Nobody has used the shield for centuries. War isn't fought with bows and arrows anymore. This is the atomic age. I guess that's true. What do I need? You need the sunglasses of faith, explained the salesman. It's for shielding your eyes from the flash of a nuclear weapon on the battlefield. Here, try these. The young man put on the glasses. I can't see a thing. These sunglasses are pitch black. Naturally, said the salesman, they're for blind faith. I can't go into battle with these, the young man argued. I guess I will have to stick with the shield. You want a shield, the man said. I'll give you a shield, but not one of those big bronze things. Have a button instead. He pulled a carton from a shelf. A button, the young man asked. Yeah, a button. But they're shaped just like a shield, only much smaller and much lighter. You can pin them right on your shirt. They're the buttons of belief. But I was told I need faith. Faith, belief, they're both the same. Just look at the wonderful slogans on these buttons. Honk if you believe. I believe, I believe. That settles it. Turn your scars into candy bars. The young man picked up a bright yellow button. I kind of like this one, he said. It says, make believe, not war. It's you, said the salesman. Well, the next thing I need is the helmet of salvation, the young man read. Take my word for it, the salesman said. That helmet is a dog. Like having a galvanized bucket on your head. Anyway, what's the important thing about salvation? The young man replied, spending eternity... No! The salesman yelled, cutting him off. Security is what everybody wants. That's exactly what you get with a headband of security. He picked it up from the counter. It's absorbent terry cloth. Keeps you dry in the heat of battle. That's the kind of protection you really need. Headband. I don't know. It seems like... Then try the hairspray of holiness. It's so much lighter than that miserable helmet, the salesman broke in. Holiness. They told me I'd need that too. It's artificial, of course, but who will know the difference? The salesman picked up a can and sprayed it in the air. Look at that, he said. It makes a lovely halo effect when the light hits it just right, don't you think? Yeah, well, I'll take the headband, the young man said. Very good, said the salesman. The young man looked at his list and continued. That leaves... Don't tell me, the salesman interrupted. The sword of the spirit. Right, said the young man. Much too expensive, I'm afraid. Useless, too. Fine for museums, but not much else. I have something far better. What's that? The young man asked. He pointed to a gleaming object on a shelf, the brass knuckles of the doctrine. They don't pierce quite like the old swords, but they are wonderful for pummeling. The young man looked doubtful. I could really use something sharper, the young man said. After all, this is war. The salesman stroked his chin with a bony finger. Sharper, he repeated. Of course. What you need is the tie-tack of tolerance. He took a tiny bauble from the jewelry case. Our designers have managed to reduce the sword of the spirit to this size for ornamental purposes. But of course, there's still a bit of a stick pin on the back. The man looked it over. But I could never do battle with this. It would barely draw blood. The salesman shuddered. Blood? Young man, we're talking about fashion here. He motioned to the mirror. Just look at you. You'll be the envy of everyone on the battlefield. You've got the sash of sincerity, the sport shirt of niceness, the socks of the gospel, the button of belief, the headband of security, and the tie tack of tolerance. What more could any soldier want? The young man looked in the mirror and admired himself. I do look pretty good, don't I? He said. I guess you're right. I'll take the whole armor, or shall I say outfit. Excellent, said the salesman. Will that be cash or charge? Check, said the young man, tossing his list into the nearest trash can. He pulled out his checkbook. Who do I make it out for, to? He said. Zebub, Beelzebub, said the salesman, rubbing his hands together. The young man signed the check and handed it over. I'll just wear the outfit home, I guess. Oh, good. No need to grift wrap. That makes things so much easier. Well, thank you. I'm glad I came here instead of that other store. So am I, said the sale. So am I. What a fitting parable as we go into a new year. A year in which we will have presidential elections. A year in which we will undoubtedly hear all sorts of promises, all sorts of analysis of what is wrong with our country, all sorts of advice on how to have a better life. Yet there's one bit of advice that has not changed and what, when put into practice, has never failed. It isn't easy, it isn't fashionable, and the cost is enormous because it isn't bought with money, but with our lives. Bible's instruction to put on the whole armor of God. Not a piece, not a couple of pieces, but to be totally sold and committed to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of God's word. It is a call to believe in God, trust His word, and put our hope in His Son. There are many enticing promises out there, and we will hear many during the course of this year. But remember, compromise is a word that is not found in the Bible. In our gospel this morning, Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" It is our hope that He will find faithful servants clothed in His armor at Zion. May God grant us both the desire and the strength to be so armed in this new year. In our Savior.